Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Happy birthday, Laura Camrath.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Yes, today is Laura's birthday, so we went super casual. Whoa, now we're going really casual.
I brought my birthday decoration here.
Yes, she's got a very, very brightly colored lei. So, but it's really cool that Laura decided to spend her birthday with me and all of you. So, you got any big plans tonight?
I'm going to have dinner with my good friend from MBA school, David Lowery. Oh. And then I might go with a bunch of friends. They're doing a fun run and kind of down in the park. So I might go meet up with them later. Nothing kind of, you know, I'm not like going crazy out on the town tonight or.
Those days are done, you know, huh?
My 80s dancing days are
right.
Numbered, but.
Well, that's good. Well, this is Big Ideas Small Business, Laura Camrath's birthday edition.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So we're going to talk about on your birthday. It's her choice today.
Yeah. So how about we talk about getting out there? You know, there's a lot of ways of getting out there per se, but, you know, how do you build your visibility? How do you build your authority level in the eyes of the people you do business with or who you'd like to do business with? They talk, you know, people talk about the know, like, and trust factor. And I've heard it argued that it's almost more of an admire, like, and trust factor, that, you know, people buy from people they admire and people who they have confidence in. Some people say, you want to be kind of an equal with your customers, but really it's not, you want to be an equal. 'Cause if you think about, and I got this example from Don Miller with building a story brand, but, he was saying if you went into a nutritionist saying, hey, I'm finally gonna lose 30 pounds and I want to know what I should do. And the nutritionist said, oh, well, yeah, I've been meaning to do that, too. And then, you know, let me think about that and find out what the best way to do that would be. You know, if they're the same, you know, you're looking for somebody to be an expert and an authority in something you're going to buy from them for.
Yeah, in IT, we call that working with the manual or learning, you know, have the manual out while you're doing your work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that sort of exposes that, hey, maybe you're not an expert in this, right? You do not want to be in that situation. But yeah, I mean, you hear that different forms. I like the idea of turning it into admire instead of like. But generally, people will say first they have to like you, then they have to trust you, right?
Yeah.
That's the progression before they will do business with you.
Yeah.
And so, how do you get them to admire you? What are some of the ways you can do that? And I think that's what we'll cover here today.
Yeah, so. And I mean. You know, sometimes it's a question of associating yourself with people who are admired in that field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're interviewing, if you have a podcast, for example, and you're interviewing people who are authorities in your field, now you're associating yourself with that person. You know, you're now on par with that person just by the fact that you're there having a conversation with them.
Right, sort of a, you can also leverage celebrities in that way.
Right,
you
exactly. Know,
anytime you're next to a celebrity, get a picture with them.
Yeah, or even places. If you're speaking somewhere in a high-profile place, mm-hmm. you know, like Rice University or Brian Gendron's office, it puts you on par with people associate the quality of that institution or that high-profile location, they associate you with that.
Yeah, that was one of our, like, take our podcast, for example, or just take podcasting, for example. You know, this is one way for us to put ourselves out there as authorities in sales and marketing and IT. And so a lot of people ask me about this and ask me questions about podcasting. So I want to cover some of that. But back to what you were just saying, you know, we originally started doing this at Rice University.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that just proved to be kind of a pain in the ass. And we started, it was $8 to park. And gosh. So anyway.
Yeah,
so
and we couldn't ever find an open
yeah, they
room
were,
to film in. And
we would have hoped for more cooperation, given that you've invested a lot of money in their MBA program.
We paid $86,000 to Rice University.
Yeah. But that was the intent. That was the intent, right? And that was your idea. I thought that was a pretty clever idea.
Yeah.
You know, so. And maybe went over some of the Rice students from being there locally. Cause,
yeah.
You know, in the social media, you can obviously tag, like here, we're tagged at my office, right? And so some of that location mm-hmm. stuff gets built into what we're doing here today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, if you think about ways to build your visibility, we have, you know, podcasting. Obviously, Brian and I have been doing that. We're also doing it live on Facebook, of course. You know, to do a podcast, you don't always have to do it live on Facebook first. But, you know, that was just our way of kind of killing two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. I would look at, you know, podcasting is actually kind of coming up as one of the biggest ways to grow your authority. And, you know, people look at even having books. You know, people see someone, oh, they're an author. That person is a published author. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a book. Wow, that's impressive. So probably over 80% of the books that people pick up from people who have books, they probably don't read. But just right. the fact that you had the book that's and right. that you're a published author, people are going to think of you differently.
That's right. So. Yeah, that's you know, that's something I'm working on right now. So I just quickly built out this weekend a website. So Brian Gendron was taken. So mm-hmm. I had to go the Brian Gendron, which still feels a little awkward, but that's all right. I'll get used to it. And, you know, I'm building out my profile for public speaking. You know, I'm going to be putting some of my blog posts and hopefully the collective blog post plus working with a writer equals mm-hmm. at some point some sort of book, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I started. I've kind of given myself a home base. Mm-hmm. You know, I've refocused on my Facebook public figure profile. Mm-hmm. So you can do things like that. You know, making sure you're focused on your LinkedIn profile. Just got new snazzy headshots. Mm-hmm. And really focused on putting out there the image that you want to put out there. Mm-hmm. And so I've been putting a lot of thought into this.
Like Hawaiian necklaces?
That's it. Yeah. Hawaiian lace. So. You know, who do you want to represent? And then once you figure that out, go forth. And, you know, those are the channels. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of ways you can do it. You mentioned Facebook Live and video. I like to start with video because, of course, you can extract the audio from that and it becomes a podcast. And audio, like you mentioned, is becoming huge. It's mm-hmm. passive media. And then you can take the written word or the transcription and make that, edit that into some sort of blog post or something like that or a book, long form. So that's how I view it. You know, find your, you know, places to sit. And they're generally the same for most people. You know, Facebook Live is a good one. We'll cover that a little more in depth later. But that's our chosen path. And I think it's going fairly well.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing that I think is huge is sponsoring other people's events and mm-hmm. speaking from stage.
Yes.
And, you know, I think just the fact that you're there on stage speaking makes you an authority. And, you know, people will trust you and trust that, you know, okay, well, I'm here and everybody else thought this person was good enough to be up here on stage.
Right.
So, you know, that is a great way. And, of course, there's marketing tools that you can use to capture people's information when you do speak from stage, so that you can continue to market to them after the event. And, you know, that's just a great way also of growing your list, mm-hmm. growing your email list or, you know, whatever that may be. You know, you can also make offers from stage, which, you know, of course, lets you monetize the opportunity. So you can have the double whammy, both, you know, the people that you were able to convert into customers at the event and you know, people that you can continue following up with in the future who may become customers in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the intent of the website for me, was to try to get more public speaking engagements. Some of the things that I've done, and I recommend it to people here in Houston, but really it's all over the country.
Yeah.
Talked about it last week, was the University of Houston Small Business Development Center, mm-hmm. SBDC. You're able to go in and instruct a course or classes, and that's what I do. 3-hour workshops, mostly to entrepreneurs and business people. And that's just a good way to position myself as an expert. And I did one on podcasting, right? Uh-huh. And I've got one coming up in May on podcasting. So mm-hmm. that's one area that you can get plugged in. Also looking at the U of H Wolf Center School, the Entrepreneur School. They have a mentorship program there.
Yeah.
So get plugged into sort of a formal mentor role is something I'm exploring. Mm. So I'm going to be looking at that, I think, 2 weeks to meet with the director. So those are a couple of things I've been doing lately to mm-hmm. try to put myself out there.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had also a monthly meetup group that was, marketing focused for, mm-hmm. we had a small business marketing topic once a month. I need to relaunch that. It went through some changes and, but that was pretty good. And I think it's also a question of just trying things.
Yes.
And, try a meetup group, see how it works. Maybe invite some higher profile speakers to your, workshop or whatever it is to, just build your own authority level when you're there. Do you want to talk about Facebook Live? Because I think that would be a cool.
It's a good transition.
Yeah.
I know that's something that I was one of the early adopters on. I had a lot of fun playing around with it early on. And I know you do quite a bit, even more than I do. And then of course we have this feed that we do here. So yeah, let's talk about Facebook Live.
Yeah. So Facebook Live is our tech for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good time to talk about it. It's kind of a newer thing. It's not like super, super new at this point, but a lot of people I know, especially, and don't take this the wrong way, but a lot of the older generation seems to, have a little more trouble imagining, okay, what do I do with Facebook Live?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the younger folks, in their 20s or whatever, they're always using it. But the reason it's really great for business is when you're going live on Facebook, it pops up a message to basically all your friends or all your contacts or all your people who have liked your page, letting people know, oh, hey, your contact friend here, your friend is live. And so it'll let everybody know while you're live that you're going live. So it's just a great way of, even if your contacts on your Facebook don't open it up and watch it, they still thought of you for that moment when they saw that note that said, oh, Brian Gendron is live on Facebook. And they probably thought, oh, well, that's cool. I wonder what they're talking about. And maybe I should get in touch. So it's just a great way of getting people to think of you. And also, it's free and it's easy. Not everybody's going to think it's easy, but the sort of caveat is, I think that the reason people think it's not easy is because they're too worried about how perfect it should be.
Yeah, it can be scary, intimidating, right? Or what if I drop my phone?
And I think the reason that people feel scared or intimidated about it is because they're afraid of what it's going to look like, and they want it to look perfect, or they, they're thinking of it in terms of like recorded video,
mm-hmm.
when really, like, how you would want to think of Facebook Live is more like a casual thing. Like, Brian and I, if I went live and I was talking on my phone, I want to think of like, what would conversation between me and Brian be like? Just natural. And I'm not going to go make a perfect background and do all these things to make my video perfect just so I can have a conversation with Brian. Mm. So actually, the modern real, like the people these days want kind of like a reality TV. Like they want to see your dirty. They want to see your everyday. They want to see the real and, you know, what's really going on. They don't want to see it all perfect and prettied up. And so that's really a draw is this is my real everyday. It's like it's an intimacy level that you're letting people come in to your life and showing them what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like just popping onto Facebook and doing a live if you have an interesting thought. Like, oh, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, the community, and I was thinking that this would be really good for the community, and well, you know, just a thought. Like, it doesn't have to be like, okay, I planned all this stuff out and I'm gonna do this on this day, and I think that helps. Like, it is good to have a plan, but it's also okay not to have a plan and just to do it off the cuff.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Don't get in your own way when you're— don't overthink Facebook Live. I like your point that, you know, everybody's has the ability to be their own reality TV star.
Yeah.
And you can be a star, and you don't even— and in a case where nobody cares if you have makeup on or if the background is right. I will say, you know, be cautious to think about your audience and what they might find interesting. Because you go live a few times and you kind of repeat yourself, or you show something that's not worthwhile, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
Every now and again I'll pop in. I don't find myself generally bored on social media just thumbing around like a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And I watch like press conferences for my New England Patriots. It's usually something I'll almost always jump on. Or every now I'll see somebody. What's interesting is, this is a good point to take home, is like I'll see somebody who I've never seen go live before, and I'm like, let's give them a shot. So certainly if we're followers and you go live, I may very well join in, and I usually try to comment, and because there's an interactive component too. Yeah. Which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, and it's also cool while you're live, you can actually see people commenting. Mm-hmm. So if I'm here holding my phone in front of my face and filming myself, I can actually see people's comments and likes as they're rolling in. Mm-hmm. So you can actually call out to people, and you can actually answer questions live. So if I'm going live and I see a question roll in from Brian that says, well, what do you do about this? Mm-hmm. I can actually say, oh, hey, Brian, thanks for joining us. And, you know, this is how I like to think of that question.
Well, do you see where the magic is in that for a business person? If you wanted to have a live format like we do, and you wanted to have a Q&A, mm-hmm. Going back to the authority positioning that we were talking about earlier, well, isn't that the platform and the opportunity to do that? Now, of course, you need to have enough followers and active followers and people that are ready to ask their questions. Mm-hmm. And the cool part is, and we've tried to do this, and our schedules just don't permit it, but you can schedule a Facebook Live in advance. You can market it and advertise it in advance so that you have people showing up at 3:30 on Tuesdays, which is what we're supposed to do, and have that Q&A format.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about with Facebook Live.
Yeah. The other cool thing is there's a new feature that allows you to invite a guest.
Yes.
So I could actually be sitting in my office, and Brian could be sitting in his office, and we could actually join the same Facebook Live without having to be in the same room.
Right.
And so that's cool. If you want to do interviews with authority figures, you know, reach out to someone and say, would you be willing to do a Facebook Live with me? And, you know, if they say yes, you let them know what time and what the, you know, what are you going to discuss?
Right.
And then you both join at the same time, and voila.
Yeah, it really takes out the barriers of, you know, we got to get meet at this point in the studio, and all that stuff's just in the past. You can easily, you know, make sure you be like, hey, make sure you have a good backdrop, put it in your office with all of your awards and trophies and books, and, you know, present yourself as smart or whatever you got to do. But, you know, we're going to have a live video feed coming at you, so just, you know, kind of clean up around you first. Yeah. But again, don't put too much thought into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of imagine the possibilities. And I think we should also just briefly mention that, you know, Facebook's other popular company, Instagram, has their version of live now. Mm-hmm. And I view that maybe not as valuable in the business world, but certainly personal. on the personal side, although I'm sure it does have its business value. Mm-hmm. And YouTube Live also, but you have to have a certain number of followers, which most people don't have. But I think it's like 100 or, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 100. I don't have that yet. It's hard to get YouTube followers. You pay for them. But, but there are other platforms you can consider. And there's things like Periscope, and that's their whole business model.
Yeah.
Right. But Facebook's tried and true. And how many users now? You probably know. 3 billion?
Something 3 billion.
Ridiculous.
And 70% of internet users are using Facebook. So.
Wow.
It's a lot of people.
It is. Any other thoughts on Facebook Live? Try it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just video in general is just really huge for business.
Yeah.
So video in Facebook ads or ads of any kind, video, using video in emails, using video in your squeeze pages, and Facebook Live, of course, I think all is, you know, a really great idea. So if you can get comfortable with doing video, I think that would be really great.
Perfect. So we got any thought leadership today?
Oh. So I have this book. So I have a funny story about this book. It's called Networking Like a Pro, Turning Contacts into Connections. And it's by, do you say that Ivan or Yvonne?
I'd say Ivan Misner.
Okay. Ivan Misner, PhD, and David Alexander and Brian Hilliard. And so this is a book all about how to master the art of networking. And the reason that this is funny, or I have a funny story about this, is because I actually won this book twice. So I won this book at a BNI luncheon. It was a kind of leadership luncheon. And I won the book, and then I put it down on the table for a minute when I went to the restroom, and when I came back, it was gone. And somebody had stolen my networking book.
Oh, wow. Not cool.
And I was like, somebody really, really wants to network like a pro. And I was kind of upset. I was like, my book. And funny enough, a couple weeks later, I was at a Chamber of Commerce networking event, and I won this book again. And so somebody must really want me to have it.
It's meant to be.
But I actually haven't had a chance to read it yet, but given we were talking about getting out there, I thought it would be an appropriate book to bring along. You know, it just gives you a lot of tips about professional networking. The gentleman who I won it from actually both times, his name, Gail Stolzenberg, and any of you who live in Houston might have run into him because he networks like a serious pro. He's like a professional networker. But to win this book from a professional networker, it must be pretty good. You know, I would say just check it out. I'm going to be reading it here, see what it says. You know, checking out who are my best prospects? Where can I meet them? Who exactly do I want to meet? You know, different places where you can network. Chamber of Commerce, Business Association, Service Clubs, Referral Groups, Social Network for Business. So it's kind of a how-to of the networking world. But of course, you know, networking is another way of just getting out there. You know, people say out of sight, out of mind. You know, a good way for people just to remember you is just to be out places where people see you. And, you know, some people might say, I'm an introvert and I don't like meeting people and it's hard. And, yeah, I mean, that's true. But, you know, I think it's a thing that you do for your business. And if you do find it challenging, you know, get something like this, a book that helps you with your strategy and helps you when you're going into an event. Okay, well, what's my goal going to be for each event? Am I going into this... am I trying to sell something? I mean, it's usually better that you're not there trying to sell people. It's usually better to go in thinking in terms of what can I give these people? What can I bring here of value? Because, you know, when you bring something of value, people are going to appreciate that, and people are going to appreciate you more, and they're going to want to help you out. So.
Yeah, it's basically certainly if you're introverted, something like that would be a good read. Networking for me is fairly natural, but I will say, kind of to your point, it's best to be intentional about it. And certainly, having been networking for a long time, I've learned to be more selective. You know, you're making decisions based on the, unfortunately, especially here in Houston, the location, right? But also the topic, the if there's speakers or a panel, you know, who are they? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the biggest thing I've recently discovered is I prefer paid events from free events. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it just, even if it's $5, it just kind of brings the quality up just a little bit. So little tips and tricks like that. I don't know if that's in the book, but certainly things that I've learned in my experience. And I do enjoy networking, business networking. That's how I met Laura. And here we are podcasting on her birthday.
Yeah. So. And the other thing to think about is, are there places you can network that maybe you can piggyback of somebody off of somebody else's audience? Mm-hmm. So if somebody else has an audience that would be your target market, and maybe you don't have the same business, but maybe you both market to the same type of people, you know, see if you can sponsor their table. That's kind of a way of networking, or, you know, speaking at the event or just being at the event.
Get yourself out there. Well, you get yourself out of here because it's your birthday, and I want you to go have all that fun it sounds like you're going to have. So
we're going to have some margaritas tonight.
Do it. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is Big Ideas Small Business.
Thanks, guys.
Go out and close some business.
Yep. I'll see you next time.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media. And visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.